This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu, and it's time for Tech Talk. Karmjit Singh from Digital News Asia joins us for a roundup of the tech ecospace in Malaysia and Singapore.
Yes.
Oh, guess what?
Guess what?
I forgot to turn on the mic.
Start again.
Must have been a Freudian slip there. You know, not wanting to hear you. So anyway, let's kick off today's show with what the incoming DG CEO's game plan is for the telco. And your Goh Tien Yew attended the Meet the New CEO lunch yesterday. Meet the new CEO.
Yeah, okay, tell us. Incoming CEO, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously it's really great that, you know, they've picked a Malaysian.
Mm.
And more than that, because he has been with them for such a long time. When I say such a long time, it's been about 10 years. And
such a long time.
Yeah, oh, it is in today's day.
Yeah.
I looked at somebody's resume yesterday and he had like 6 jobs in the last 12 years. You know, it's amazing.
Which is, you know.
And he's 32 years old.
If he's been moving and learning in mm-hmm. each role, that's good.
Or if he's been asked to move and not learning
that,
in
then
each
that's
role,
not good.
That's not so good. But anyway, that aside, it's not a HR program. I see what you're trying to do there, Frida. So anyway, yeah. So with Alban now, so the big game plan is
Alban Murthy, the incoming CEO of DG.
So the goal I wouldn't say it's ambitious, and it's really not rocket science. So they just want to be the best mobile internet provider. But what I find interesting is them saying they want to be it for the mass market, mm-hmm. And of course that's the biggest portion of the market, right? So he says that, and you know when you talk about mass market, then it's also then the migrant market. Because one clear trend from last year, and I met with one of the founders of Merchant Trade, was that even the migrant market from last year, very clear they were all starting to use data already. And that's suddenly a market of like 4 to 6 million, you know, individuals using data. So that's a great boost for the telcos, you know, if you can capture these people. And DG obviously has a big chunk of the migrant market. So I think that's why it makes sense for them to say we'll target the mass market. And Alban thinks even more interesting is that he thinks they can hit this position of being the best in the next 3 years, he said. And one of the things, of course, then he says there are some strategic pillars they need to pay attention to in order to achieve this. He spoke about their capex. What's interesting also is that they're not going to spend any more than they are in capex. I think they've been averaging 900 million the last 2 years. He said moving forward these next 3 years, they're also going to spend the same amount of money. And for them, I think what Goh Tien Yew also said that they've got more reason than most to focus on growing their mobile internet business because they were the only mobile player among the big three to register revenue growth last year.
Hmm.
And he says that, you know, you need these strategies in place to maintain that momentum and to gain market share. So now what's happening is that last year, their revenue, internet revenue was, it jumped by almost 40%, 39% to 1.71 billion.
Right.
So they did really well in this internet space. Now, Alban talks about the need. When he said you need to get a few pillars right, he talks about they want to be the best in customer service. And everyone says that, right? From the company which offers the worst customer service on the planet to the best, they all say that. But he says that what we need to do is we want to ensure that we have the right network in order to deliver that good customer experience, as well as the right plans and bundles to attract customers. One of the things they did when they announced a rebranding or so about 2 months ago is that they formed 220 teams nationwide to monitor the network quality, you know. So each team is dedicated to a single cluster. So they've got, I forget the number of clusters. It may not be 220, but they've got the whole country is divided into clusters, very small clusters, and each team is dedicated to this cluster and to make sure that if there's an issue with the network, they can quickly, proactively take, you know, rectify the action. Because obviously the customer's biggest complaint always is that their network is not good enough, right? It's not that the customer service rep, when they spoke to him, was not clear or was slow or whatever.
Right.
It's the network experience. So he says that they've got daily action targets for all these clusters, and he acknowledges a lot of hard work. And sorry, this was said by, the fact that it's a lot of hard work was said by the current CEO, Lars Ek Norling, and I only managed to get the name right because I'm reading it right here. Otherwise, I would have mangled it. But he's obviously moving next month to Thailand to take charge of DTAC, which is another Telenor subsidiary. So lots of interesting things going on in the telco space. And we've got later one more telco story too, where it was great that the CEO shared something that didn't go well and the lessons they learned from that.
Okay, that's another telco story. But now we're going to fashion.
Fashion ballet.
Okay, so this is the fashion ballet founder, Wiser, this time around. Why is this founder Wiser this time around in how an investor current round of funding it received? So how much?
Well, nobody knows because both Fashion Valet and the company that invested in them, Elixir Capital, which is a private equity firm, we've spoken about them on the show before. They're based in the Silicon Valley, declined to announce it because they feel that this information gives them a competitive edge.
Right.
So that's the game plan. So we don't know. And it says multi-million dollar though. So it's in US dollars. It's not in ringgit.
Okay. Multi-million.
And so the reason why we went with this angle, as you said, that they're wiser the second time around, was because in October of 2012, they were the winners of that DG,
yes.
DG Plus, that My EG reality show, make that pitch, right? Or Make My Pitch. One of them.
Yes.
Frida.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
If you cannot correct me, means you also don't remember.
I can't remember. The pitch.
So they won, the pitch. So they won R1 million. Now, I asked him, how are you going to use, from the lessons learned there, how are you going to use this money differently? Now, a lot of times, entrepreneurs will not want to admit that when they raise some money, they didn't use that money well. So it's credit to Fadza Rudin, and I'll call him Fadza henceforth because everyone calls him Fadza, is that he was honest with it. And he said that, look, you know, there were some things that we probably didn't do right with the first money we raised. And he says that at that time, and which many people believe in this up today, we thought that money would solve all our problems.
Yeah.
And that you just pump money into the business and it automatically makes more money. And I've met an entrepreneur before in the green tech space who says, Karamjit, money makes money. That's been his experience. So you, and that's kind of a catchy phrase that
it's a catchy phrase, but there's a lot
and
of...
And it's taken as almost the gospel truth,
yeah,
right?
So. Yeah. And there is probably some truth, but how that money is utilized. Yeah. So maybe it's... Okay, anyway.
Yeah, so the base thing is, of course, you got to use the money well. So, I mean, obviously, Fadza and his team and his wife, I was going to say his co-wife. No, his wife.
It's co-founder.
His co-founder, yes. And so the two of them were in the company together. So what he said was that it was an expensive lesson because only then when you start using the money and it's not working the way you think, you realize that, hey, money doesn't solve all the problems. And he says that they found stuff which they did with very little money actually giving them better results. And so armed with that chastising experience, I said that they're a more experienced company moving forward and they plan to invest their current money in more impactful areas to power the growth of the business, which is a de facto for anyone, right? But they've had a lesson they learned and fortunately the company didn't stumble because revenue has been good. I was quite pleasantly surprised. Fadza claims that the company has been increasing revenue, you know, at a double clip, you know, year on year. So, and for last year, he didn't want to say the amount, but he said that they did exceed over, you know, 1 million US in revenue because the press release said that they tripled revenue for last year. I said, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything, right? You cannot share it with people and say they tripled revenue. So at least over 1 million US.
I know. I've been still interested to know when you talk about how money can't solve everything, what they were spending the money on, right? And whether, you know, maybe it's improving the supply chain or improving the other aspects as well, you know, and that in a way will improve business if that's the problem. So I'm just wondering, I'm sure money does make money. It's just where you've put it.
Where you put it and how you invest it. Also, because when you've got money now, you're naturally very tight-fisted as an entrepreneur. When you've got money, then suddenly you think that if you spend more on something, maybe you order a tender. I mean, you call for a tender and you maybe go with the guy who's priced his services at the highest and say, hey, we'll probably get quality here. And that may not have been it.
Okay.
And some other decisions are. So what was interesting is that while they grew, you know, X2 every year, he said last year, growth plateaued initially in the early part of the year. So they relooked their business and say, hey, what's going on? Identified some main areas holding them back. And he said, we did everything we could to overcome those, you know, including dropping some parts of the business that weren't working.
And
but again, he declined to be specific because he felt that these lessons, you know, they didn't want to just announce it and let everyone else learn from it. So kind of disappointing from one point because you still got to execute, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's his choice, lah, not to share what were the things, you know, that they discovered were blocking the growth and they focused on them. And you know, they spurted so that growth was you know, X3 last year.
So if they are doing it right, are they willing to share what it is? Because I'm not getting any information here.
I know. They're not. So they're obviously.
So I don't know why we're talking about this. Can we
When you say we're doing it right, you're right. So no, we can move on now. So
okay, we'll move on. Talking about the
just one thing quick is that because the VC that invested in them feels that they can actually go for an IPO listing, which is very rare for VCs to say this can be an IPO. So when I asked Fadza this, he says we're just keeping our options open and we just want to make sure that the business can be self-sustaining. And while an IPO could be on the cards, if they get an offer or somebody comes in and makes them an offer to acquire the business, they may go that route too. So all cards are on the table right
now. We'll talk about your brand new personal tech channel right after this and whether we've gone in with the purple turbans.
Purple turbans.
Karan Jasik from Digital News Asia, Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. Frida Liu here. Karan Jasik Singh from Digital News Asia. We are going through stories in the local tech ecosystem. Yes, and then now you guys have a few reviews already on your brand new personal tech channel. Two so far, right?
Yes,
and,
for this week.
BlackBerry and Chinese brand Oppo. So what's interesting here? And did we go with the purple turban, you know, instead of the usual stars?
Yes, Asokan maintained an inelegant silence over my you know, email that people, maybe you should consider using purple turbans instead of the star.
Anyway.
Yes, for now,
BlackBerry and Oppo.
Yeah, so the BlackBerry one was done. You can read about it on the site, you know, from, I think it was on Monday we did the BlackBerry review. And then, so we've done Oppo. So yesterday Keith did an Oppo review, and I actually didn't know Oppo was a Chinese brand.
You didn't know?
I actually thought it was maybe a Malaysian, Indonesian brand, like Oppo. Here we say Oppo lah, too. And I thought it was like Oppo is a slang on that, right? It's catchy, what?
Oppo nak dikato.
Oppo nak dikato, so Oppo nak dikato. Anyway, so it's kind of a cool name. And so this is an interesting Chinese smartphone vendor, because a lot of them go start off in the lower tier of the market, right? Offer value cost-wise. These guys have come in at the high-end market. And their pricing is almost like a Sony smartphones. Huh? Yeah. So Keith did an incredible job, because there's just so much here. He actually took pictures, tested things out, you know, went on the inside and look at some of the workings and tested the audio. Really comprehensive. And then ended up with some stars also for the Oppo R5 and the N3. And you can see some of the ratings there. And one of the ratings is even given just a 2-star. So, which you rarely see in phone reviews. So this is interesting. But again, this brings to the point that we will say it as it is. And one of the things when we announced the channel was that we will also allocate a budget. We have allocated a budget to buy some of these devices ourselves so that then we can review them, you know, in our way. And it's not to say that when we get these devices from the vendors, we won't review them this way. Because this device was given by Oppo and we still gave it a 2-star in terms of value, one of them. So we will not compromise on that. But just buying your own products is enhances the value of that review when you do it. But the downside is that you can only buy the product when it's commercially available. So the review will come later. But for the majority of us who are not, you know, quick adopters and want to get something first, you can afford to wait, right? Nobody's smartphone is falling off at the seams that you need to go out and get one now. So the review was interesting. So basically, I think in a nutshell, Keith said that, look, if you want to go for a high-end phone, maybe you want to try some of the other brands, you know, than an Oppo. So that was really the bottom line of it. But you can read the review, because if you like it, go for it. I met somebody who had a Huawei phone. And it's a smartphone, high-end specs, just below ringgit. Very happy with it, he said. Although there have been some reviews otherwise, but he's very... And his wife has the same model too. It's so good that the wife used it. And he said, we're very happy with it. No issues. So you got, you know, different people having experiences, different experiences with the same phone model. But there you go. But the good thing is there's increasing competition, not just in the low end of the smartphone market, in the high end too. So that's great. So do read that. It's very interesting. And there's a couple more reviews there.
Now, we were also talking about this last week. And
was it?
Yes, we have news from MDEC on the gaming front this week. So, what's the story?
So this is quite interesting, because they went to there's an event going on I think it's France, if I got the country right. And what they've done is they're working with a company called Game Founders to bring a game accelerator to Malaysia. So it'll be the first game accelerator in Malaysia. I'm not sure if Singapore has it, but you know, we're gonna have one here. They didn't really give the timeline. So they were actually not in Paris, they were in San Francisco, And so the collaboration is for MDEC. They say that, look, this collaboration is going to support Malaysia's vision of becoming Asia's games hub by 2020. Now, I got to be honest and say, I didn't know we had a vision of becoming Asia's game hub, you know, in 6 years' time. So this is something new to me, to become Asia's game hub. Because when I interviewed CEO Yasmin Mahmood 3 weeks ago, she said, we want to be a game sub. She didn't say Asia. Maybe you can be regional, but it's at the Asia level. So just huge amounts of ground to make up and gaps in the ecosystem to fill too. very ambitious target there. So you partner with guys like this, good. They live, breathe, sleep this gaming ecosystem. Having the accelerator here will allow our emerging entrepreneurs to say, hey, maybe I want to go into that space. And you go through an accelerator. The reason why it's called an accelerator is it will fast track your development. You can quickly see whether your idea has any legs to it. And if your idea doesn't, they say, in doing that accelerator, so you pivot, you do something else. You know, not this particular idea. Or those who've got a solid idea, you come out from accelerator with much more momentum behind you. Mm. So this will be interesting. And MDAC says that its idea is to focus on driving the games development industry, including, you know, mobile games. So there's a lot going on in this space. And now game founders, they're going to bring their mentors down because they've already got a network of investors too and strategic partners. So they said that together, they said that we're going to help raise the bar for the whole Malaysian ecosystem here. Mm. So that's kind of interesting.
Okay. Next one, the other, Axiata's Bumpy IT Transformation Program, Lessons Learned.
Yeah, so this was great because Go went for the results last week. Mm. And then, one thing interesting was the Axiata, which is the anchor ship for Axiata's group of companies, had 31 consecutive quarters of top and bottom line growth. And
then they suffered
a decline in net profit. So the net profit still grew, but it grew by less than the previous quarter. So interesting that Jamal said this was partly due to its IT transformation program that they did over the last 2 years, and it was undertaken with Oracle and Accenture. So you name the vendors, very interesting. Mm. And Jamal said that, so Jamaluddin Ibrahim is also the president and group CEO of Axiata. And Jamal said that they faced a number of systems-related issues, which turned out to be fairly serious. Now, this briefing, the transformation started 2.5 years ago, to be precise, not 2 years. So he said most of the program went well, but some of the data migration, the interface from the IT to the network equipment went very wrong. And Jamal said it was very serious. So much so that Celcom lost customers and dealers. Can you imagine that? So this is just a sobering lesson for all entrepreneurs out there. When you're doing any IT transformation, you know, you got to take it very seriously. When you do some migration, you could end up maybe losing some data and all. And when you're in a space where the competition is so ferocious, you cannot afford that, right? So what he said was that the IT, so they had like 14 subsystems, 13 were okay. And with one of them, got the network, then the IT has to talk to the network, the telco network. And he said there was a problem where they couldn't talk to each other. And, you know, in the vendor, when you build your telco network, you don't use all the products from one vendor, like Ericsson. You may have Huawei, ZTE, Alcatel-Lucent. There's another level of talking to be done. And there was a big problem with that interface. So they ended up, you know, facing a lot of problems. And then the second one was migrating customer database. So he said the second problem was migration of data, and some of the data was corrupt. Mm. So when you migrate customers to new set of plans and all that, that migration may have challenges. And then in the end, the customer has a problem. You may be like, hey, I'm supposed to be on a two gig data plan. Why is my data capped off at 1 gig?
Because I know
the information wasn't transferred, and you as a customer
That's
get
why.
Very upset. And it's so easy to do a porting, or you have been getting that. So I've heard some people getting that too. So he said some of the lessons they learned was that, you know, I don't think you can... He doesn't think they completely overlooked it, but we didn't pay enough attention to all the interfaces. And he also said the company was a bit late in escalating the issue to its vendors. Apparently, they only realized in 3Q of last year when it brought in regional officers from Oracle and Accenture to solve the problem. And he said when we pressed the button, it was like magic. Within a few weeks, they solved many of the problems facing us. So interesting that he said they themselves didn't escalate it fast enough to the vendors then. Mm. So lots of things going on. So, and he said that perhaps the group should have paid a premium when it embarked on IT transformation. So this is another key lesson. Like I said earlier, right? Suddenly when you have money and you go with the highest proposal because you think it's the best. So here, normally with the big players, because they're big and their contracts are in the many millions, they press you down on pricing. And even though you go with a top tier or a vendor like Oracle or Accenture, when you whack them down on pricing, they, on their back end, then they do something to adjust that also, which is invisible to you, to justify their cost. Mm. So Jamal said they maybe, you know, should have paid a premium for that. So they suffered lah.
Okay. However, congratulations are in order for the Axiata CEO.
Yes, because he won a Chairman's Award at the current Mobile World Congress going on in Barcelona. He was given a Chairman's Award
well
for outstanding
done.
Personal contribution to mobile growth and development. So,
Malaysia boleh, man.
Yeah, so oh, quite so brilliant. Yeah, just a really cool guy too. So it's nice, you know, so that he was received that award in front of all his peers. And that's great branding for Malaysia too. So previous winners were like Dr. Jiang from China Mobile and Qualcomm's current chairman and CEO, Dr. Paul E. Jacobs. So he's in very, very good company.
Wow, well done.
Kudos
well
to
done.
Him, yeah.
Yeah. So no reading list, nothing?
No, reading list is, that's a great article. You know, you just like kind of caught me by surprise. So the reading list is that there's one thing about Singtel partnering with Ericsson and Samsung to boost their LTE speeds in Singapore beyond 300 megabits, and that's huge. And on our personal tech channel, there's just a couple of interesting articles about Mobile World Congress. It's really worth your while to go read them. And it's done in the DNA style and quality. No regrets there. So do invest some of your time there and explore our new channel. More to come.
Wow, we've time to spare.
2 minutes.
Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia, Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Chakaday.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.